gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Probably would feel good if I hadn't drunk so much at Stephanie's last
Super Bowl party.
Hey, no. Jim's here, everybody. Look, that call sucked. It was totally holding. He was holding him. Go Niners. We weren't paying attention to the football at all, and then suddenly it got exciting after the blackout. I was like, okay,
yes.
Now we got a game. All right, wait, let's Jackie check you in from the current news center.
Good morning.
Oh, wait a minute. What did I do? We double news you.
Shatner.
Oh, all right, fine. Sorry.
Yeah.
Good morning, Jackie Shatner.
Good morning.
So we were, first of all, it was a Super Bowl party entirely of people that don't follow football.
Right.
Ah, how'd that
but then,
go?
Then there's, first of all, how is there a power outage? I don't understand the Super Bowl.
Yeah, someone.
You know, there was a guy at the Super Bowl party that I went to who did a quiz, and one of the questions on the quiz was, will there be technical difficulties? And we were like, dumb question.
Oh, right.
And then sure enough.
But you know what? The Super, is it the Superdome? Is that where they played it?
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. The Superdome is a really old stadium now. And
wow.
So they, I'm shocked.
I just love
it's not
that.
So super. Thanks for
yeah.
asking.
Right, Jackie, the biggest TV event of the
what
year, and you got to call
beforehand.
You got to call Schneider.
Yeah.
Toolbox. There's something going on with the electrical.
Oh, the gays were saying that Madonna pulled the plug.
Because
Beyonce was so good.
All right, can we
get to the Beyonce thing? All right, because we had a whole sexist Beyonce thing at my house, but you go ahead, Jackie.
Well, what do you mean you had a sexist
Well, just
Beyonce?
You do yours, I'll do mine.
You can't drop that bomb and run.
Well, here's my thing. I will preface this by saying she's a beautiful woman, and she's a very good dancer.
Okay, here's where we got
to If you're trying to get rid of the...
stigma?
The question of whether or not she can sing.
Right.
It would be good to actually sing. And I don't think she did a heck of a lot of singing last
really?
Night. I think
but
she did a lot of speaking.
I didn't think the production quality was very good.
Oh, I thought the production quality was
incredible. No, I mean the sound.
I don't know, the sound sucked.
The sound sucked.
But
she
I thought the entire production, the entire show was phenomenal.
Yeah,
it was fun to watch,
yeah.
But she didn't sing.
Well, I look at it as a giant performance rather than just this part of the singing or just the part of the set or just the, you know, the backup.
Okay,
singers.
You want to know what the sexist debate was?
What?
A couple of the guys were saying things about how big her thighs were, and my friend Catherine's like, she just had a baby. Shut up,
and her
bastards.
Thighs, have always been big. In single ladies, her thighs were huge.
Whatever.
But nobody criticized her there.
It's always, you know, guys that are like 1,000 pounds in the Barca Lounge. Look at her legs. What's
that? It takes muscles to dance like that.
Yes.
Right, exactly.
Please, we're going to talk about the size of Beyonce's thighs, please.
She's beautiful.
All I'd rather talk about her lack of singing.
But more importantly, did she flash an Illuminati sign? That's what people are saying now.
What does that mean?
No, those are only on your website that they're saying
No, it's not. It's on Yahoo.
What's an Illuminati sign?
I don't know.
Oh.
I just read that.
The giant
headline.
Conspiracy.
All right, so for an entire group of people that did not watch football... That was totally holding against the San Francisco 49ers guy in the end zone toward the end, wasn't it? It was a holding call. That's what Jim Harbaugh said, and he was right.
I have no idea.
I don't know. I was on my way home at that point.
Yeah, so was I.
No, you could see it in the slow motion replay. He was totally holding that guy. That's why he didn't make it for the pass
at
the end.
I left my party
right
after
the lights came
back
on.
Yeah, some of us had to get up for work in the morning.
Yeah.
Left.
Jim just left my house like moments ago. Jim can confirm, right? I go to bed before people leave every party, right?
Yeah, you do.
My friends Rob and Trish.
I think everybody here can confirm that.
I don't know who else. Somebody. She's like, oh, we should go. I'm like, no, don't be ridiculous.
You still have my kitchen to clean.
Nobody cleaned my kitchen. I got that.
Uh-oh, so did you pick up some leftover food off the counter and bring it in to eat?
No, I gave it to Jim and everybody at the party
because
I still had a rumbly-tumbly, and I was like, oh, I should not have had that pizza. Everyone take this home.
Both of you missed our happy hour.
I know.
All three of you missed our happy hour.
It's taken me over a week to get over my food poisoning. I've had the rumbliest tumbly. Oh.
Yeah, I underestimated the extent of the dental procedure I was going to have done on Friday.
Jackie didn't make it. We had a little show party, and neither Jackie nor I made it. Me because of my food poisoning after effects, and you because you were all million-dollar baby.
Yeah, it sort of looked like maybe I'd had a Botox accident.
Yeah.
Or a small stroke.
She was trying to rinse, and she said the water's falling.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had some dental work done, and I thought it was the anesthesia sure. was going to wear off quickly. Turns out, not so much.
No. More number current than you were careful.
It was kind of like that.
Hello, I'm here to see Dr. Harar.
All right.
Dr.
Harar.
Should we tease the party on Saturday night with a stripper pole and talk about that later?
What? Oh, yes.
What?
We all went to a dinner party in Melissa Fitzgerald's house on Saturday night, and she has a stripper pole.
Really?
A stripper pole. She's really good at it, I gotta say, Jim.
I bet.
Yeah. I'm not so much.
You made a dollar.
I just did. You got a picture of Rob, my friend Rob, shoving money down my pants. Did you tweet that?
I did tweet it. I could give it to Chris, and he could put it on your Facebook page.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Awesome. Just another weekend for me, men shoving money down my... And back at the Itchy Kitty in Reseda.
Yeah, did your Itchy Kitty training come back? Like riding a bike? Or riding a pole or whatever?
Yeah, no, there is a technique, isn't there, Jackie?
Melissa's yeah, there really is. Good at it. I did not have the opportunity to partake in that. But,
yeah, we've lost Jim for the rest of the show now because his visual of Melissa Fitzgerald doing a stripper pole.
Yeah.
All right.
What was she wearing?
Clothes.
Regular clothes. No, actually, Jim would have been really hot because she was kind of dressed like a 60s housewife. She had like a, she cooked and she had an apron on and she
pearls
served like,
and high heels.
She served like hot brie and
nothing
yeah.
else.
And she's on the stripper pole. You know, so technically.
In fact, that's your stage
name,
hot brie.
I miss cheese.
She's a lady in the street and a freak in the bed, Jackie, you know what I'm saying? Is what I'm guessing.
I was going to say, did you really want to say that on national radio?
I'm just guessing from the... Well, we'll talk I think about the apron and the pearls and then the stripper pole.
She did have the little gold slip-on shoes, though. That was very appropriate.
Right? She did. Okay.
So I think that should be your stripper name, Hot Brie.
Hot Brie. Oh. I think that was her stripper name. We'll ask her. And you did miss cheese.
I missed cheese. How did I miss cheese?
And Jim missed Melissa Fitzgerald pole dancing. A great weekend.
We have priorities, yeah.
Woo-hoo! So, Jackie cheated on me with another Super Bowl party somewhere, whatever.
I did.
Yeah.
I did. I had an affair.
All right.
It was satisfying. There were tacos.
Listen, it was a long Super Bowl for me because I couldn't drink. So, listen, it's been a long, but I think my tumbly is back to normal.
Oh, that's good.
Well, yeah. You gave it to Peter Ogburn because he was out this morning.
Yeah, he had a rumbly thing.
Oh, Bill's?
And apparently,
Bill's producer.
Apparently, he did the cooking. And
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. All right. Jackie Scheckner, what else? What else is breaking?
I don't know. Morning? I made another key lime pie. That was a big to-do.
Jackie Scheckner whips up a mean key lime pie. And I'm not even a pie person.
Well, she's from South Florida.
Right.
Of course.
Right.
I mean, you're required to know how to make a key lime pie if you're from there.
Right. And there was a rather indelicate moment when I jumped on top of Jackie Scheckner and said, just lay back and think of Miami. It'll be over in a minute.
But the best part is that one of Melissa's neighbors, who's a fan of the show, was invited up to come meet Stephanie at the exact moment that she decided to hump me. So that didn't go well.
Wait, you weren't drinking?
It was a playful pseudo-hump. It was an actual one.
And you weren't drinking? And this happened?
Oh, no, Saturday I was.
Oh.
I have a template that I read that I call Melissa Fitzgerald or Jackie the next morning, and then there's a, hi, it's Steph. Sorry, I...
Whatever it is.
Blank.
I know you're straight.
Yeah.
And then I just... They know. They don't care. Jackie loves me.
I was like, hi, sir. Nice to meet you. This is Stephanie.
Oh, pardon me.
Let me peel myself off of you and say hello.
He expected to encounter such dignity, I'm sure.
Oh, sure.
He was like, oh, my.
And now the news.
All right, honey bun. See you at the top of the hour. Love you.
You got it, guys.
And
bye.
I mean that in an inappropriate way.
Oh, boy.
Okay. All right. In a little koala kind of way. Okay. All right, I'm just saying it was a controversial call. We didn't expect to be into the game, and then we were totally into the game, right, Jim? It turned around.
There was a game?
It became a game.
There was a game?
Mm-hmm.
I know. It started, it was an excuse for a party for me, too, and then it, I don't know what happened. They were mounting a comeback, the 49ers.
Go Ravens.
Didn't work out.
Right.
No.
Right.
The dogs predicted it. They were right. They were like Paul the Octopus.
Yes.
Right. All right. So we have lots to get to today. We have our usual rude punditness.
We do.
And Eric Bollert, et cetera. Oh, we have a Rocky Mountain Mike has graced us. Which one should we do? Because the, gun debate, of course, is, there was a great piece in the New York Times about, what's her name? The Gail Trotter.
Yes.
A and how just hilarious and ill-advised her whole testimony was. But Obama is coming to take all your guns.
After the election, a lot of gun shops reported rising sales.
President Barack Obama officially announced that starting January 1st, 2013, he will be waging war against the Second Amendment. He will be waging war against our Constitution.
The gun shows on the weekend.
Like that, everybody's guns.
The shooting range with all your friends. Tell you that Obama is messing around.
And when they get our guns, they can have their world tyranny.
He's taking all your guns, baby. And that's the way you see it, baby. But you don't have half of a mind.
1776 will commence again if you try to take our firearms.
Well,
so Castro took the guns.
Hey,
Hugo Chavez took the guns.
Oh, God.
Hitler took the guns. Stalin took the guns. Mao took the guns.
Heard it from a friend who. Heard it from a friend who. Heard you're buying up 5,000 rounds.
Yay!
Yahoo! Rocky Mountain Mike. All right. Oh, and another breaking news, real quick. Thank you, Chicago. I think we. I don't know if I have the details yet. We had the biggest box office day ever in the history of ever at the Chicago Theater Friday. We just went on sale.
It broke
Friday.
Record by 400 tickets.
Wow.
Wow, the all-time box office record, Chicago Theater, unbelievable. Thank you, Chicago. I love you back for the April 13th show. I would hurry and get your tickets for that show. Sexy Liberal Chicago, April 13th. Tickets just went on sale Friday. Do it. Get it.
Someone wrote to me and said, please tell Steph that the holding call was on a Raven, not a Niner. Oh, Steph, it's so cute when you try and talk the pigskin.
The holding call was on a who?
A Raven.
That's what I meant. He was holding the...
But
the
you said it was on...
No, he was holding the San Francisco 49er guy. And so he lost like three steps and he didn't catch the final ball in the end zone. I know what I'm talking about, people.
I'm just relaying a
message. Let's play football! Let's play football!
I have no knowledge of football whatsoever.
Where's that? Do we have the helmet crunching sound effect?
No.
Do it. Get it. I'm going to be all butch today. Okay, 17 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. His Rudeness Rude Pundit coming up bottom of the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Dana in Maryland, our homegirl.
Good morning.
Girl.
How
Good
are
morning.
You?
Hi, Dana.
How are you guys doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Good. So I heard Friday night some shenanigans, debauchery.
Yes.
Everybody?
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay.
Yes.
A little bit. Seth, did you stay home and hydrate?
I did. I stayed home and hydrated Friday night
okay.
so that I could
I'm
go out.
I'm very happy that you're better.
I did ill-advised things Saturday and Sunday, though. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, you know, sometimes you got to just let loose.
Uh-huh.
So, first of all, you are correct. Crabtree was held by Jimmy Smith in the end zone.
Yeah.
So you are not out of your mind. I watched the whole game rooting for the 49ers. And
yeah,
he was
I don't
absolutely
know.
Held.
Right.
And it was a BS call. So
I know.
You were right.
Yes,
you were
thank
right.
you.
Okay, so
it was an awesome
is,
comeback, wasn't it? The 49ers yes. mounted. You got to give it to them.
It really was. I mean, I'm a Redskins fan, but
right.
I was rooting for the 49ers for other friends of mine, and I'm a West Coast girl. So,
right.
but you know, it was a good game.
Yeah, exactly.
It was a good game. So,
yeah.
My point today is obviously about guns. I want to shout out to that poor child who's being held by that lunatic.
Oh, God, that's so sad.
And it is, and I understand why they're not covering it much, because he has TV, so they don't really want to get him riled up for any reason.
Yeah, yeah.
But as a parent, it's unfathomable. So
yeah.
Just sending good juju there to
yeah.
end that. This guy in Maryland near us is now tripling the price of the AR-15,
oh,
and he has a wait list for this particular weapon, and he said it's fashionable.
Yes,
and
right.
And as a parent of a child in school, 5 minutes from my home, and this guy is on a wait list. I mean, that's really scary. Who are buying these weapons?
Yeah.
He said he can't keep them in stock.
I know. No, I know. I mean, it's... Oh, and by the way, did you hear that there are now skeeters. They're called skeeters. People with skeet shooting conspiracy theories about the picture of the president.
Yeah.
Skeet shooting. Did you see? That's basically... It was an industry for Fox News. It was all... He would have had a belt with shells if he were really... I don't think he was shooting at anything, and it's not a... I mean, really?
Never be.
And he wants to take your guns away.
Fox News.
The proof is he's not trying to take your guns away, which proves that.
He was asked by New Republic magazine, "Has he ever fired a gun?" He said, "Yes." He said, "We do skeet shooting all the time," but he said not his daughters, but he said a lot of guests that come up to Camp David. Literally, I heard it was just 24/7 them analyzing the picture on Fox News, and they're skeet shooting birthers. They're skeeters.
Yeah.
All right. Josh in Memphis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Josh.
How you doing, Miss Steph?
Good, honey. Go ahead.
Okay, I got three things for you. I'll be quick.
All right.
Number one, that was the best halftime show I've ever seen in my entire life.
I thought it was great.
Football fan. I'm a football fan, not a halftime show fan.
And I, by the way, here's our I was like outside talking to someone, and I have like, I'm waiting. It's music. It's the halftime. We didn't care about the football. Yeah.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
Number two, it was not a hold on the end zone play because they get 5 yards to mug the opposing team's receiver on the 5 yard. They were on the 5 yard line. As soon as he hit the end zone, you can watch it. He releases and let him go. That's 100% legal.
Really?
No hold.
I thought they were saying because he was pushing back. It's not a hole, but he looked like a hole to me.
No, they both get 5 yards to mug each other.
Really?
To mug each other?
All right, that's a boy fact. I don't know.
No, it
stuff.
Is.
Whatever.
Number three, how did you like the way Chris Culliver blew the entire game over the karma of the gay comments?
Yeah, I bet you that was it. You're right. That was it.
Well, I'm just saying, every five minutes, Chris Culliver missed another pass or whatever, you know.
Yeah. It's right. Every time he missed a pass, a gay Boy Scout gets his wings.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you, honey. Tony in Chapel Hill, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Tony.
Hey. Just a couple quick facts. Orange County, North Carolina, is the only county around that I can get your show.
Uh-huh.
That's where the station is set up.
Right.
They have a 5.5% unemployment rate.
Well, that's because
Wake
of my
county,
show. Yes.
Well, Wake County and Guilford County, which I travel through those counties on my way to work every morning, they both carry Rush Radio. Unemployment is over 7.5%.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Coincidence? I think not.
I think not, Tony. Thank you very much for that. The Stephanie Miller Show. Anywhere you can hear WCHL, Chapel Hill, Carrboro.
Mm. Yep.
Yeah. Unemployment down. See? Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. All right. I don't have time for Kev. Off to the take you after the break. All right. So obviously lots heating up on the not just the gun debate, but everything else. And the Rude Pundit, hilarious and rude as usual this week.
He's good.
He is a great. Well, there's always I always have one thing that he writes every week that I think I will never love anything more.
Okay.
He wrote one thing that I love even more than anything else he's ever written.
What's it about?
I will tell you after the
That's
break.
Oh, dang!
Right.
I have to stick around.
Must you be so clunky? Defeat the whole purpose of my finesse. 29 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
The glittering diamond of super evil.
Thank you. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Happy Monday, 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Time to get
Lee Papa, the rude pundit. Pundit.
Good morning, Papa.
Good morning. It's been so long since we've spoken.
Right?
I know. Are you feeling better?
Yes, I am. Well, it's my recovery's been a little, shall we say, bumpy. Apparently, it takes a little while to recover from food poisoning.
Yeah.
Someone needs to.
Maybe you shouldn't have gone to spinning while you were still suffering.
Someone needs to. The universe is forcing me into rehab. But it's very upsetting.
But your bowel's got plenty of exercise.
Right. Thank you.
All right. Okay.
I loved your piece on the mentally ill appear at the gun hearing, which essentially refers to the pro-gun nuts that appeared. You say if you wanted to make a case for mental illness as a primary cause of gun violence, you'd pretty much get all the evidence you wanted from the Senate Judiciary Committee hearing. There were so many episodes of bat paranoia and outright delusion from the anti-gun law speakers that diagnosed schizophrenics bowed their heads in horror. Honestly, if at some point the NRA's Wayne LaPierre had started scrawling a manifesto in his own on the walls of the hearing room, the rude pundit would have thought, well, that wasn't unexpected. this is how crazy they've become, right?
Oh, yeah. And even yesterday on Fox News Sunday, Wayne LaPierre was on, and at times it was Chris Wallace of Fox News saying, dude, really? Just every time that LaPierre would like come up, would say things like, oh no, if you don't think they're coming to take away our guns, you're wrong. They're coming to take away our guns. And Wallace would say, you're taking something that's here and saying that it's actually going to affect something way over here. And LaPierre did not back down.
Well, you know, I was reading another piece, Rude, that I think is really true, that I think the NRA is really misplaying this because, you know, they're basically saying nothing's different now. Well, things are different, I think, after Newtown, and they're coming off as so, I mean, when 92% of the American people are, let's say, for background checks, and they've flip-flopped even on that, I mean, it just, they don't seem, as you say, sane to anybody at this point.
Well, and the thing about the background checks that I found interesting is they were initially for the instant background check. I remember when the Brady Bill was first being proposed. But the thing was, when they were first for instant background checks, the technology wasn't here yet.
Right.
And so it was easy to say, oh, yeah, we're for instant background checks when we get there in 5 to 10 years. And if somebody was that obsessive about any other thing, if you were obsessive about drugs, about anything that was actually causing harm to the community, to society at large, but you clung to that and said, no matter what, we need to keep doing what we're doing, you would call that person crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, diagnosably crazy.
And obviously much has been written and said about Gail Trotter. As you say, embodying the gun nut ethos was Gail Trotter, a senior fellow at Who the F*** Cares? Women's Group Against Women. Yeah, here's, ironically, she has been against the Violence Against Women Act, and here she is testifying about how she needs an Uzi.
She's for the bitch-headed coming act. Yeah.
Yes, right. I mean, God. Yeah. You were saying she's talked about, quote unquote, the peace of mind a woman has as she's facing 3, 4, 5 violent attackers, intruders in her home with her children screaming in the background. The peace of mind she has knowing she has a scary looking gun gives her more courage when she's fighting hardened violent criminals. And I think as Lawrence O'Donnell said, as he was ripping her a new one, you don't go to the Senate to imagine. You don't go to testify about facts.
Right. I mean, the whole thing is just all based on some kind of bizarre fantasy. It really is as if the zombie apocalypse is just about to happen for gun lovers. I mean, yeah, if a zombie apocalypse happens, if it was going on right now, fine. You'd need a large magazine. But right now, no zombies, large magazine needed.
And as you note, Sheldon Whitehouse pointed out the gun the woman in Trotter's story used was not subject to any of the bans being suggested. She didn't care. And that's what I said. What a shotgun pointed at your head, Jim, if you break into my house, is not a scary enough looking gun. You go, oh, it's only a shotgun.
Oh,
well,
I'm going to proceed.
Right.
Yeah.
And there was actually somebody stopped a shooter at a coach that stopped a shooter at a school just this last on Friday or something.
Right.
And he was using a legal gun. I mean, he was using a gun that would not be banned under the assault weapons ban.
Right.
So it's not as if these guns, and I love, it was Lindsey Graham talking about.
Well, I was just going to say, the rude things you wrote about Lindsey Graham, I can't repeat on the family radio show. But anyway.
Go to rudepundit.blogspot.com if you want to read them.
Right. But
I can just imagine.
He told the story of another woman using a gun, shot an assailant 5 times, yada, yada. She had twins. And he said, would I be reasonable American to want a family to have a 15-round magazine in a semi-automatic to make sure if there's two intruders, she doesn't run out of bullets? Am I unreasonable for saying in that situation a 15-round magazine makes sense? And then you say, yes, but what if there were 10 intruders, a zombie army, a shark driving a helicopter? Would one be unreasonable in asking for landmines and an RPG launcher? this is what I mean. It's these imagined scenarios that don't happen.
I mean, we are living, and it's almost seems like it's a piece of how we react to things in this country that scare us. We take the most extreme, fantastical idea, and we force everybody to behave as if that remote possibility is going to happen. That's why we take off our shoes at airports.
Why mightn't there be a shark with friggin' laser beams attached to its head?
The really sick thing about all this is that whenever these tragedies happen, gun sales go up.
Yeah.
And
NRA
just loves it.
Yeah.
They have a financial stake in more of these tragedies happening.
Yeah.
They want it to be at the top of the newscast.
See, and you know what? There we go. If liberals were good at the conspiracy theory thing, if they were good at driving the narrative, that's a conspiracy theory they would put out there. That some shooter was actually a setup from the NRA. Right. Instead of it being the Obama administration, setting up Newtown.
Well, but, there's a great piece, I don't know if you saw it yesterday in the New York Times editorial, Dangerous Gun Myths, the idea that weapons make women and homes safer is wrong. The opposite is true. And it cites, of course, study after study that absolutely the opposite
more
is true.
More guns, more dead
of what,
people.
Yeah, Gail Trotter, testified to.
Right. And you just want to say, for every person that stops a criminal, possibly stops a criminal because they had a gun, how many people get killed to save that one person?
I'm looking at the first study. For every instance in which a gun in the home was shot in self-defense, there have been 7 criminal assaults or homicides, 4 accidental shootings, 11 attempted or successful suicides. The cost-benefit balance of having a gun in the home is especially negative for women, according to another 2011 review from Harvard. Far more from making women safer, a gun in the home is a particularly strong risk factor for female homicides and intimidation of women. I mean, it's just that's why it's so dangerous, what she testified, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And again, nobody is going to go around and take away everybody's guns. I mean, all we're saying, this country is too far gone. We're not going to take away, $10 quadrillion, is that a word? guns that exist in this country already, and that grows exponentially, it seems, every couple of weeks. But if we can't say that, hey, how about a little bit, just a little bit of sanity, then we're kind of, ungovernable.
Yeah.
And maybe that's the goal. Become so ungovernable that we need the guns, the self-fulfilling prophecy.
That's what Wayne LaPierre is selling. That they, like as you said, this is such a, we live in such a murderous, hellhole that that's all that can save us, right, is good guys with guns, I guess.
That's it. The thing though is, if everybody's armed, won't it be hard to tell who the good guy with a gun is from the bad guy who has a gun?
Yeah, exactly. Let's talk about, I wanted to get to this because obviously everybody with the Oscars coming up debating Zero Dark Thirty. You wrote Grappling with Zero Dark Thirty, Torture Works and the CIA is Nothing But Awesome Part 2.
Yeah.
Here's the problem is, like most things, I fell asleep. Roland brought the screener and I watched part of it. And so, Rude, I've heard a lot of people say what you're saying about it, and then I was citing Catherine Bigelow wrote, I don't know if you saw an editorial in the LA Times, saying, I don't personally believe torture led to us getting Bin Laden, to do a movie that portrays that time without portraying that is, obviously she's making the free speech argument, which I understand, but tell us your take on it.
Well, my take is that her intentions don't matter.
Right.
What matters is what we see. There's every artist in the world would love to be there and say, no, you're getting it wrong. Here's what I thought when I was doing it. But it doesn't matter. I mean, she doesn't actually. Yes, I agree. I think it was actually a great idea, as far as the narrative of that time period, to say, here's the horrible things we did. But there is no way you can watch that movie and not come away thinking, in that moment when the tortured prisoner is treated well, but then threatened with being brought back for more torture, that is when a piece of information is revealed that ultimately leads to Bin Laden.
Right. Well, you say, this is exactly what I've heard. You say the movie sets us up to root for the CIA unquestionably, so simplistically that it leaves out things like CIA agents who were against torture, who wanted to follow the rule of law. It was understood for nearly the entire history of the nation. So you say in doing so, it unequivocally comes down on the side of the most hawkish elements of the war on terror, whether Bigelow and Bohl intended that or not. Of course, an artist doesn't have an obligation to show all sides, and we as an audience don't have an obligation to trust the artist or even like what she's doing. So their intentions, they don't matter. Okay, here's the part, Chris, where I said I think I will never read something I love more from the Rude Pundit.
Okay, here it is.
Are you ready?
Yes. Do we need a trumpet?
This is smart liberal. Yes, this is liberal humor at its best. It's like Edvard Munch saying he didn't intend his famous work to be a scream of horror or pain, but it was the perspective of a dude delighted at a cute kitten, which is just out of frame.
Well, oh, what a nice kitty!
You might have wanted to paint that, Eddie, you might respond, but all I see is existential agony, not LOL cats.
That's great.
That's brilliant.
Thank you.
The best thing Rude Pundit has ever written.
Ooh, Cats and Sinks.
Thank you.
High bar. Here's high bar. Here's you next week. Okay.
And here's Cats and Sinks.
That's great. Now it's got to be something else that's family friendly.
That's not your bag, baby.
But anyway, you finished by saying we know the courier's real name wasn't gotten through torture, and those in the know say that we got his nickname from a detainee before he was tortured. But even we take as a possibility that torture played a role. The real question is whether or not we could get information without torture, as we have in every other war. Zero Dark 30 dismisses this when Dan says Islamic radicals can't be bought off. So you're saying the impression in total is...
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and I know that there have been defenders. I know Michael Moore, Andrew Sullivan. You know, some people have really come in and said, no, this thing shows us the ugliness of torture and that, you know, it's true detective work that gets us to bin Laden. And it's, yeah, but it doesn't... It excuses the torture. No, you know, and again, the artist is not, not obligated to say, the writer and the director are not obligated to say that there were some moral qualms about this. But at the same time, if you don't say that.
Right.
And you act on what you get, then you are in some way advocating.
Let me get your take. I'm just looking at what Catherine Bigelow wrote in the LA Times. She says, I support every American's First Amendment right to create works of art and speak their conscience without government interference or harassment. As a lifelong pacifist, I support all protests against the use of torture and quite simply inhumane treatment of any kind. But I do wonder if some of the sentiments alternately expressed about the film might be more appropriately directed at those who instituted and ordered these U.S. policies as opposed to a motion picture that brings the story to the screen. Those of us who work in the arts know that depiction is not endorsement. If it was, no artist would be able to paint inhumane practices, blah, blah, blah. I mean, that I get the point, you know, and she talks about the Hollywood tradition of making war films, and she said on a practical and political level, it does seem illogical to me to make a case against torture by ignoring or denying the role it played in U.S. counterterrorism and practice. She said, as for what I personally believe, I think Osama bin Laden was found due to ingenious detective work. Torture was, however, as we all know, employed in the early years of the hunt. That doesn't mean it was the key to finding bin Laden. It means it was a part of the story we couldn't ignore.
Again, but by twisting it enough to say that torture led to, in any way, to bin Laden, either we need to know that that's true, or we need to know that, or she's just trying to cover her ass. Now, she has another reason for covering her ass, and that is that I do think there's something a little bit outrageous about there being a congressional investigation, or at least, you know, an investigation.
Yeah.
What information she was given, and how does that square with what the Congress was told? I mean, you know, if you're going to do that, then you may as well go to Argo and say, well, I don't think that the Iranians were rushing down the runway after the plane at the end, as they show in the movie. You know, that's
right.
Not part of the story either. So
yeah.
She's under another kind of pressure from the government, which is sort of unfairly targeting the movie because it is a work of art. But again, I think that her excuse is kind of BS covering up first.
Yep.
Somewhere Dick Cheney is grimacing, and it will be interpreted as a smile.
It's just his heart were stopping for a moment.
Rudeness, love you. Good luck with that high bar.
Oh, thank you.
All right, wear a cup. Love you.
Bye.
See you next week. All right, 49 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
More than our share of the nattering nabobs of negativism.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Let's do it, man.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it.
What happens in this room when we leave?
What the hell happens in here on the weekends?
Apparently not radio shows.
Damn kids. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Kevin in D.C. Hi, Kevin.
Good morning, lovely Stephanie.
Hello.
Good morning, everyone. I'm feeling you mentioned Melissa Fitzgerald earlier. I'm feeling it made me feel a little bit of kinship with Jim.
Mm-hmm. Yes. As, she has a stripper pole in her apartment?
Well, that's an extra benefit. But no, mm-hmm. Jim and I are the only two males that put this delicately on the air that receive the oral attention from two beautiful women at Sex Liberal D.C.
All right. Go ahead with your point.
I wish you were that dirty. But.
I heavily censored it. Give me some credit.
Yes.
What you've been talking about with Rude and is yet again example of Republicans where they have a war on a lot of things, but you know, logic and data and previous experience. I don't, this guy's before background checks, before he was against it. I've tried mightily. I've said it before. I've tried so hard not to demonize Republicans. And even up to 15 years ago, there was a lot of Republicans that I still admire and respect. I thought that their ideas were great. But this crew now, how can the country survive when a large part of us refuses to accept reality? Secretary Clinton just left, was saying that, they don't deal with reality. How we can survive? This is not a personal thing. This is not trying to trivialize or demonize them. They literally refuse it. How can we survive?
You're right. And what she's referring to, too, is here's the Secretary of State of the United States having to answer a question about a Fox talking point. I mean, and what did you say the other one about? No, there was no live video stream of Benghazi. Like, what? Just because Fox News has reported it 1,000 times doesn't mean it's true. But you
How does it get to How does it get to them officially? I mean, now it's no longer fringe because people. The first thing try to liberals have their fringe, which we do, but now it is mainstream. That is how Rob Me got caught at the debate. Famously, it's going to go down all the time. Is listening to a ridiculous Fox lie and repeating it? Now it's the
But now you have a United States senator. That's why that turkey exchange was so funny. Yeah. She's like. Turkey?
Turkey?
I have things to do. I'm still Secretary of State. What? That's something
what
you heard. Yes. Turn on Fox News. Right.
What do we do to because the hardest core, at least in my circle, I run into is a reasonable, like a Kathleen Parker Republican is the closest I run into. I don't run into the people who listen to Rush the Drug Lush and the rest of the lunatics. So what can we do? I mean, I love laughing at them because you've got to do this stuff from crying, but they are affecting, as you mentioned, they're affecting actual policy. It's getting to mainstream. They're doing it at real life hearings, for God's sake.
Well, that's why it's funny when it collides with reality, like in that debate with the president and Romney. It's when he said, oh, you didn't, because that he turn off Fox News. That's why he got trapped in that whole thing about when the president called Benghazi an act of terror, and he thought it was a gotcha moment because he only watches Fox News. What Secretary Clinton said was there are some people in politics and in the press who can't be confused by facts. They will just not live in an evidence-based world, and that's regrettable. It's regrettable for our political system and for the people who serve our government in very dangerous, difficult circumstances.
Turkey? If I were president, stop right there.
And I love, didn't you think like Rand Paul had the same aha look on his face that Mitt Romney had? Just like that,
Gotcha.
And it's like, no. And that's why people are leaving Fox News in droves. Apparently, they would like considerably more facts in their news. And we'll talk to Eric Bowler about that.
You can get Fox News in Turkey?
Turkey? I just can't wait for the next time she's ordering lunch.
Turkey?
I ordered roast beef.
Turkey? No.
Turkey?
Who sent me turkey? Rand, get out of the kitchen.
Okay. Right back with Eric Bollard and Right Wing World on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, and I feel good. Hey, all right now, and I
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Happy Monday. 6 minutes after the hour. I'm choked. I don't care what anyone says. It was a holding. He was holding the San Francisco 49ers guy.
Did they call it holding?
No!
Or?
Right, somebody called in with a boy fact about why it wasn't. Whatever.
Because you're allowed a five-second buffer, they said, or something
like that.
I am pro-Beyonce. I'm pro-Beyonce.
I am too.
Okay. 1-800-STEP-12 the phone number.
And the way she brought in the Michelle
the
and
Childs,
Kelly.
The Childs. The Destiny's Childs.
That was really cool. But then she shoved them out of the way after they sang two lines.
Right. They were like her assistants.
That's right. But it was a great show.
Yeah, it was awesome. Mm-hmm. All right. 1-800-STEP-12 the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Wowee, Chicago. Wait a minute. Did you get Sexy Liberal Tour Director Roland?
Yep.
We beat the record of all records in the history of records at Chicago Theater on Friday. The April 13th, yes. Sexy Liberal coming to the Chicago
yes.
Theater. We just went on sale Friday at the box office. This was this morning. We're down to 14 VIP tickets left. Want those, better grab them today. The box office did not hold back any VIPs since there was such demand. No additional VIPs will be released closer to the date. There's still great orchestra and balcony seats, but act fast. Who knows what will remain after this week? That's crazy. Chicago. Bitches be crazy,
yeah.
Chicago. Oops, I meant to do this. Bitches be crazy. Chicago bitches be crazy.
Yes. Oh, Travis and I were talking that we may come for the weekend.
Really?
Yes.
Jim Ward? Road trip. Come on.
Well.
Chicago? What if I get by myself and I step on a bag of
No
diapers?
One says Chicago.
No, no.
Something.
Chicago.
I could get hit with a bag of glass because Jim didn't
glass.
Come.
That's dropped off the top of the Hancock Tower.
That's
bag
right.
of glass vipers.
All right, it's
Monday. The worst kind of vapors.
Eric Bowler from Media Matters for America doing the Lord's work as usual.
Eric Bowler.
Come on, baby.
Eric Bowler.
Let's dive into the right-wing world.
I don't know what that means.
Eric Bollert from Media Matters, whom we love.
Bollert.
Good morning, Eric Bollert.
Good morning.
Enjoyed your tweets even more than Beyonce over the weekend, I must say.
Not easy.
You say context. The WP that demanded photos of Obama's skeet shooting was the same WP that ran endless front-page White House warnings about WMDs. Yeah.
Yeah.
That they were fine with, but this they wanted more evidence, right?
Yeah, there's sort of two chapters to this whole skeet nonsense. One is, of course, the right-wing media nonsense, and now there's conspiracies, and the photos are fake. But to me, I mean, I thought the real embarrassing part was the Washington Post deciding to sort of wade in on this late last week and do a fact check and, you know, solemnly announcing, you know, the White House was, you know, curiously silent on why isn't there more proof and all this. And it's... You know, and of course they look like fools, and of course they got laughed at because what they were doing with that fact check was buying into this Obama derangement syndrome,
right.
Buying into the right-wing media of basically, you know, everything Obama says is a lie unless he can prove it.
Yeah.
And we've never held presidents skeptical.
No.
You know, we've never held presidents that level skeptical.
Oh, it was a day-long thing. He would have had a bag of shells around his waist. He wasn't really shooting at anything. It was.
I mean,
really?
You know,
who cares, right?
Exactly. That's the bottom line. Who cares? You know, skepticism is fine. That's an important part of journalism. This is not skepticism because unlike sort of these right-wing claims that, oh, he, you know, it's important because he threw it out there. He was pretending he was a gun owner. He was using this for political reason. Wrong. Interview. Specific question. Have you ever shot a gun? Obama, yes. I have. Here's where. He didn't put it in a speech. He didn't put it in an ad. He was answering a question.
Right, and he wasn't saying, oh, I'm a big hunter and, oh, I'm a big,
nope.
big shooter. He just said, yes.
None of that stuff.
You know,
and
right.
so,
right.
you know, I also tweeted, well, you know, if Obama said, boy, I only need 5 hours of sleep a night. I mean, is the Washington Post going to demand real-time video?
Yes,
yeah.
video.
I mean, Eric, we were just talking last hour about this whole, this is when, you know, what Hillary Clinton just said about them
yes.
dealing in reality and facts, and it collided at those hearings where, you know, she's got United States senators doing Fox talking points, and we were saying, you know, Rand Paul, the question about Turkey or them asking
yeah.
her about the live video feed during Benghazi, you know, she's Secretary of State and she has to answer these questions. No, that didn't happen. Turn off Fox News.
The total absence of evidence is proof in
right.
Fox
yeah,
land.
Exactly. And same with the skeet thing. You know, the total absence of proof proves that Obama's a liar.
Right.
And again,
well,
you know, if the Washington Post made a huge mistake. They should have left this to the nut jobs, the wing nuts, but they decided it was news. And if you go back and read Glenn Kessler's original fact proof, seeing if whether Obama had ever done skeet shooting before 2008.
Yeah.
You know, the whole point is he said he did it while president at Camp David. So the Washington Post spent paragraphs determining that he'd never done it before he arrived at Camp David. I mean, the whole thing made no sense.
Who cares?
Oh, my. Exactly. Back to my original point. Well, is that anything to do with your headline? Well, with the Fox News empire in a ratings slump, where is Roger Hill's magic touch? I mean, is that part of them waking up from their viewers going, wait, they were wrong about everything about this election? Look at Mitt Romney getting caught in this moment in the debate with Obama about, you know, when he called it an act of terror because they only live in the Fox bubble, right?
Yeah, it's right. And if you look at the Fox ratings, you know, the first term turned out to be a gold mine for Fox. Because, you know, remember they hired Glenn Beck the first week of Obama's first term. You know, his ratings went through the roof. The whole Tea Party, they were branding this anti-Obama movement. And it was a gold mine for them. Early in the second term, indications are it's the exact opposite. You know, Fox News posted their worst primetime ratings in 12 years, you know, in the month of January. So the question is, you know, does Roger Ailes have a plan B? I mean, is he just going to redo what he did for the first term, even though the evidence is it's not going to work? There is no Tea Party surge. You know, a lot of these people thought, you know, they were going to be swearing in Mitt Romney because they watched, you know, Fox News all last year. So it'll be interesting to see what they do. It seems clear right now the approach from the first term is not going to work.
Well,
just scream and yell and call them a socialist.
And to your Secretary Clinton's point about, you know, reality versus facts, as you tweeted, in case you missed it, 4 years ago, Friday, Dow 8,000, closing bell yesterday, 14.
Yep.
Largest four-year gain in the history of
trading. Coincidence.
I mean, the facts are just so opposite their anti-business socialist Kenyan Obama storyline, right?
It is, and actually one of the points I mentioned in my ratings piece is not only is Fox lowest ratings in 12 years, Roger Ailes also oversees Fox Business. Some of those programs, demo viewers, are in the 5,000, 6,000, 7,000
people.
You know, it's available in 60 million homes. And the reason I think Fox News has been a dormant, you know, a ratings doormat, is because of this Dow thing. You know, they've been overseeing 4 years of this astounding Dow Jones growth,
right.
And Fox Business is, you know, it's been talking about what a disaster Obama is. So if Fox Business can't acknowledge what's happening on Wall Street because of their ideological, you know, filters, of course they're going to have a problem. And that's the same problem that I think Fox News is finally having. Look, Fox viewers have never held it responsible for getting everything wrong.
Yeah.
You can make an argument people tune in Fox News in order to be misinformed.
That's
they do it
right.
on purpose.
Right.
But
to feel better, right.
To feel,
yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
To feel
All
better,
right.
to be angry and to be mad. But, again, that model seems to have been played out.
Yep. Let's dive into the right-wing world, get some more, shall we? For instance, in the world where Mark Levin will tell us about the Muslim Brotherhood.
The Muslim Brotherhood has infiltrated our government. It's called Barack Obama. No, he's not a formal member. He's a sympathizer.
Oh.
There, I said it. Prove otherwise.
Oh.
You want to look into Obama's soul? You want to look into his soul? Well, look at his soul. You know what I see, Mr. Producer? I see Chuck Hagel. What kind of a commander-in-chief would nominate somebody like Chuck Hagel to be Secretary of Defense?
Wow.
I'll tell you what kind of commander-in-chief. The kind of commander-in-chief that arms the Muslim Brotherhood Islamo-Nazi regime in Cairo.
What?
While he's hollowing out the greatest military force on the face of the earth under his direct command, the United States military.
Tell us more
That's
about the strawberries,
kind of commander in chief.
Wow.
Is he going to yell like that for 4 years?
He'll be making more regular appearances on Fox on Hannity's show.
And another thing! Don't call me crazy!
So, wait a minute.
I'll tell you!
Eric, what kind of commander-in-chief would nominate a Republican Vietnam vet?
Yeah
exactly. That's what I was going to say. How dare he? How dare he nominate a Nebraska Republican Vietnam veteran?
Right.
Secretary of Defense.
Wow.
So much for outreach, right? So much for, you know, Obama working across party aisles.
But yelling makes it better, because if you can't be right, be loud.
Because, you know, the press for 4 years demanded, you know, why can't Obama make D.C. bipartisan? Why can't he fix this bipartisan gap? So he nominates a Republican, sends him up for a hearing, and the Republicans maul Chuck Hagel
yeah, right.
for 7 hours. You know, I'm pretty sure this is the last time we're going to see anyone reach across, you know, party lines to tap someone for their cabinet, if that's the thanks you get.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Eric, are any of your relatives currently listening right now?
They may be. Why?
Maybe. Well, there's like 1, 2, 3, there's 4 of us. And if there's any of your relatives, that's 5 of us that are hearing Lou Dobbs on Fox Business right now.
After all the political drama and media controversy, neither President Obama nor the Congress have contributed as much to advancing the safety of our public school students as the NRA's LaPierre.
What?
Huh? Wow.
What are you smoking? What the?
Wow, Wayne LaPierre's done a lot for school safety?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't even make sense. They want to, put all these cops in all the schools. But, I mean, what have they done in the last 4 years for school safety? I guess, flooding the country with 300 million guns is supposed to make the country more safe.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense on the face of it. And of course, it doesn't make any sense, philosophically or any other way.
No,
but again, this sort of buys into the notion that Obama has spent the last 4 years, obsessed with guns and fighting the NRA.
Right.
Which doesn't reflect reality at all. He hasn't even talked about guns for 4 years.
Exactly.
Which is proof that he's trying to take our guns away.
Exactly. All right. Eric Bollert remains in the sidecar.
Prove otherwise!
Oh, he's...
Don't call me crazy or I'll kill you!
He must be a fun date. Okay. 19 minutes after the hour, Eric Bollert, more Right Wing World, next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
There's something funny going on in talk radio. It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour, Eric Bollert for Media Matters rejoins us to continue Right Wing World. Eric Bolling, who's an entirely different person.
Yes.
In for Hannity.
We learned the unemployment rate is back up to 7.9%, and that number could easily be well over 10% if the Labor Department didn't play with the numbers to suit the left-wing narrative.
What?
Oh, wow. Are we still on this?
What's his proof?
I'm just making nostalgic, right, for the campaign and good old Jack Welch and on how Fox News went all in on that. But as Media Matters pointed out, another important issue was Bolling and others. They claimed, not only does the Labor Department play with the numbers,
right.
but they were all going to be revised. And when they were,
I was just going to say, Eric, or what do you call it? Rush Limbaugh was sure, Eric. He assured us that right after the election, all these numbers were going to be revised way upward because they were playing with them during the election. Right?
Turns out that's not where they were revised. So they got that wrong too. Not only did they get the idea that the Labor Department was now under. Is under the command of the Obama reelection team, but they also got wrong this idea that all the numbers were going to be revised and way up, and we're going to see the real truth about unemployment under Obama.
Right, exactly. Glenn Beck.
Yeah.
On the radio.
Poll that came out where I was the 4th most admired man in the world.
Gack.
Huh? 4 years ago.
Oh.
Now I'm one of the most despised men in the world. I'm crazy. I'm building a Waco.
Check.
I'm whatever
Check.
It is.
Right.
Whatever it is.
Right.
And I haven't changed. What's changed? The smear machine.
Ah.
And you don't
get
past the smear machine.
The paranoia
machine. Good Lord.
Wow. When you're too crazy for Fox News, I mean, really.
That'll do damage to anyone standing. When Fox News shows you the door, it's a little crazy for us. But right,
I'd give anything to be a fly on the wall for his conversations with Sarah Palin, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
But right now, Beck is building his utopia in going to build his old independent community, and we'll see what happens there. I don't think he was ever the most admired, and I don't think he was ever the most despised. I think now he's just sort of, you know.
It's worse, irrelevant.
Yeah, exactly. He's, you know, he's in a money-making business. He's doing great for himself, but he doesn't really have any say in American politics.
No influence.
We run his ads, helpfully, for Glenn Becky Stan.
Yeah.
I don't know how it's selling. All right, Deb.
Becky Stan.
Deb Fyrick. Oh, on CNN.
Yes, okay. Regarding Ted Nugent.
Okay. Mm.
He is a very visible face of the National Rifle Association. He believes in background checks, but he doesn't believe in background checks for gun shows. He says, look, statistically, the number of guns used in crimes from gun shows is minimal, and he reels off the numbers. He's got a very firm grasp of the facts. He says, you know, there are billions of magazines, trillions of rounds of ammunition, hundreds of millions of people who have guns. And so he says, look, it's never going to happen.
Ted Nugent has a firm grasp of the facts.
Right. Who can't agree on that, Eric?
Yeah. Folks at CNN, you need to type into the Media Matters archive, Ted Nugent.
Yes.
And see what comes up in terms of his firm grasp on facts.
And Eric, the only thing that's significant is 40% that's nearly half of the guns in the country.
Yeah.
Are gotten through either gun shows in a way that there's no background check, right?
So he says statistically most guns used at gun shows aren't used in crimes. How does he know if all the guns purchased at gun shows aren't registered
right.
in any
Thank
way?
Thank you.
Hello.
Thank you. There's a firm grasp on a fact. All right. Eric Bollert, a delight as always, sir. Thanks so much.
All right. Talk to you.
All right. Talk to you next week. There he goes, Eric Bollert. I love Sue in Rockville. Hi, Sue. Hello.
Hey, good morning. Hi, how are you?
Good, honey bun. Go ahead.
Listen, first of all, belated happy birthday to your mom. I think that's awesome that she made 90. I wish her all the best.
Awesome.
And now listen, here's what I don't understand. The NRA says we need to arm teachers, right?
Right.
The NRA says we need to arm janitors, right?
Right.
But Newt Gingrich says the janitors should be kids. We should just let the kids be
right.
clean it.
Right.
So let's just give the kids the
arm
guns.
The kids.
We'll
Are you saying arm toddler janitors? Not a good idea?
Well, I just think that the kids and the teachers, I can tell you bar baby number one really hates his math teacher.
Uh-oh.
What could possibly go wrong?
Yeah, grade disputes might get settled a little differently.
Oh, God.
All right. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
She's a doll.
Yeah, she's super cute. Everybody says so.
Cha-cha! It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it! 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll-free from anywhere. Why, looky here, Sexy Liberal Tour Director Roland says now down to only 10 VIP tickets for Chicago Sexy Liberal. Grab them now if you want on the box office. Did not hold back any VIP tickets. That means they'll be gone today for the April 13th show. What? Also, the box office said our fans are much nicer than certain other comedian who won't be named. So the box office thanks everyone who lined up on Friday in a very nice, orderly, non-yelly manner. The 70 Miller Show thanks you for not being yelly while getting your Chicago Sexy Liberal tickets, because it was a bit of a panic at the box office on Friday. So I would go quick, because those tickets may be gone, I don't know, this week. Who knows?
Hey, Chicago, you say twice isn't enough?
15 is my limit.
The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour is returning to the Chicago Theater on April 13th.
With filthy mouths and bad attitudes.
Tickets are available at Ticketmaster.com. Come see the tour that sparked the number one comedy album and its own TV documentary.
Who can argue with that?
The Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour at the Chicago Theater on April 13th. Sweet Home Chicago is about to get a little more sugar from Mama.
Yay! Woo-hoo! Thank you.
So, middle of April is going to be about 38 degrees.
Short sweater.
It's changeable at that time of year.
It could be 45.
It's menopausal at that time of year.
Yeah.
Yes.
I remember when I lived in Chicago, the leaves were barely out on the trees at the beginning of May, and I'm like, I can't deal with this.
All right, and to balance things out, a hate letter, though a brief one, from Zach.
Okay.
Subject line, you're disgusting.
Your spelled Y-O-U-R.
No. Oh. Surprisingly spelled correctly.
A contraction.
You're disgusting.
Huh.
That's all. God bless.
Oh.
Saint. Not really even sure what he's referring to. Maybe me talking about my projectile diarrhea and vomiting.
Oh, well, there's that. Yes.
Last week.
That could be. That was disgusting.
But he blesses me.
No, God blesses you. Right. He doesn't bless.
No.
No.
All right. Looky here. Yet another unsolicited testimonial. I'm taking Steph to Vegas. Vegas, baby.
Vegas, baby. Vegas.
Vegas, baby. Vegas.
You're so money and you don't even know it.
Steph app, unsolicited endorsement, gling. Oh, here, I got that. I got that. Don't worry, Sid. Sid in Santa Rosa writes, Steph, I've had the Stephcast subscription since it came in on the Pony Express. But now, ta-da, the Steph app. Just look for the doll face in the lacy black cocktail dress.
Hello.
Oh, thank you. I don't have to put the shows on my iPhone from my home computer. Anywhere my phone can see a satellite, Steph will manifest.
That's right.
So, darling girl, you will be going with me to Vegas next week. Vegas!
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
I get to travel a lot more now that I'm an app. And then to Mexico in March. In Vegas, I'll introduce you to my stepsis, who still loves Sarah Palin. Yikes. Hey. In Mexico, I'll introduce you to my English pals down there, who all have iPads, and your humor, liberalness, and sexiness will spread. Pack a bikini. I love Sid in Santa Rosa. What kind of bikini does an app buy?
A lacy black cocktail bikini.
Right? Is there an app bikini store?
Oh, yes, there are. You can buy bikinis with apps.
All right. Because I'm the I'm gal with the fart joke streaming, you know. See what I did there?
Hey. All Santorum found.
Yeah.
Whipping it out this weekend. I tell you what, that is huge. Okay, Dale in Georgia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dale.
Stephanie.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
My wife Gina wants to say hi.
Hi, Stephanie. I love your show.
I love you.
Okay. Now,
okay,
the NRA now has two arguments of keeping high-capacity clips. Number one, it doesn't matter because people can reload so fast that, you know, it's unnecessary to ban them. But the lady testifying said she needed high-capacity clips because she didn't want to have to reload. Now, which is it?
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
Well, and you know, Dale, you can't dismiss that a lot of these recent shootings were only stopped when they had to reload
and
get a new magazine, right?
That's true. I know. But see, the gun nuts I've known over the years, ultimately, the conversations turn into what kind of damage their handguns or shotguns will do against the person. You know, they get into the fantasies.
I'd say any kind of gun is scary enough looking if you walk into someone's house and you're staring down the barrel of it, right? I mean, this is a... Yeah.
The fact of the matter is that little girl, what's her name, Green, from...
Right, Christina Taylor Green.
Taylor Green, from would still be alive if they'd hit
which
smaller
is
clip.
What Ray Kelly, Gabby Gifford's husband, was talking about. I was mentioning, I thought, a really good... I guess we could put this up. It's in the New York Times Dangerous Gun Myths from the weekend. But just some... Because everybody's talking about this Gail Trotter's testimony, but it really was ridiculous. It's called Dangerous Gun Myths. The idea that weapons make women and homes safer is wrong. The opposite is true. They cite... A number, not just one. The debate over what to do to reduce gun violence in America hit an absurd low point on Wednesday when a Senate witness tried to portray a proposed new ban on assault rifles and high-capacity magazines as some sort of sexist plot that would disproportionately hurt vulnerable women and their children. Gail Trotter, she's a fellow, Jim.
Really?
At the Independent Women's Forum, a right-wing public policy group that provides pseudo-feminist support for extreme positions that are, in fact, dangerous to women. And as I pointed out earlier, she is against the Violence Against Women Act. She's been a vociferous opponent of the Violence Against Women Act, the law that assists women facing actual domestic violence, not imaginary scenarios.
Yeah. So what if the
Zero Dark Thirty invasions?
What if Morlocks and the mole people came up through the sewer grates and attacked me
right,
with laser beams?
Right.
Then what?
And She spoke of the peace of mind and courage a woman derives from knowing she has a scary-looking gun when she's fighting violent criminals. It's not at all clear where Ms. Trotter gained her insight into the confrontations between women and heavily armed intruders, since it's not at all clear that sort of thing happens very often.
Yeah.
Her appearance before the committee was designed to give a voice to the premise, however insupportable and dangerous it may be, that guns make women and children safer, and the more powerful the guns, the better. Ms. Trotter related the story, and again, we talked about this with Rude Pundit, Sarah McKinley. She shot an intruder, yada yada. Anyway, but the whole point of the story is it was a gun that's not going to be banned. It was a,
right.
It was a shotgun. It was a Remington, whatever the hell, the 12-gauge
right.
shotgun, something. Which would not be banned under the proposed statute. She did not need a military-style weapon with a 30-round magazine. There's a more fundamental problem with the idea guns would actually protect hearth and home. Guns rarely get used that way. Here's the bunch of study. In the 80s, there was a study that looked at all injuries involving guns kept in the home in Memphis, Seattle, and Galveston, Texas. They found these weapons were fired far more often in accidents, criminal assaults, homicides, or suicide attempts than self-defense. And I read this statistic earlier. For every instance in which a gun in the home was shot in self-defense, there were 7 criminal assaults or homicides, 4 accidental shootings, and 11 attempted or successful suicides. The cost-benefit balance of having a gun in the home is especially negative for women, according to another 2011 review from Harvard. Far from making women safer, a gun in the home is, quote, a particularly strong risk factor for female homicides and intimidation of women. In domestic violence situation, the risk of homicide for women increased eightfold when the abuser had access to the firearms, according to a study. Further, there was no clear evidence that victims' access to a gun reduced their risk of being killed. Another 2003 study found that females living with a gun in the home were 2.7 times more likely to be murdered than females with no gun in the home. An analysis by mayors against illegal guns found in states that required a background check for every handgun sale, women were killed by intimate partners at a much lower rate. It goes on and on.
But apart from that, how do you enjoy the play, Mrs. Lincoln?
Right. Yeah. Guns in the home greatly increase the youth suicides. That's why the American Academy of Pediatrics has long urged parents to remove guns from the homes. And again, as many people have pointed out, how safe did that make Adam Lanza's mother? I mean,
yeah.
There's a woman with an arsenal in her home, and that I think is the real danger of her testimony.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's go to Debbie in Ohio. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Deb.
Hi, I love you guys. Love your show.
Thank you.
I was just calling to say that we own guns. We have two. We have a pump shotgun and a pellet gun. And that guy that called in that was shooting T-shirts in his fireplace and said that a pellet gun can't kill anything is wrong.
Right.
The pump shotgun, usually 9 times out of 10, if you have an intruder, all you have to do is go do the shk-shk.
Right. That's what I said. That's, you could really just have my box is all you would need.
Effect.
Just right.
Right.
The sound
exactly.
effect.
Right.
See?
Yeah.
Right.
And yes, thank you. And it depends on the ammo that's in the gun, too, because apparently my husband knows that I'm such a lousy shot that he has put this kind of shot in it that will just, hit anybody anywhere if we have to do it.
See, that's why we've said I'm too spazzy to have a gun, but I'm too spazzy, really, even to have my box protect me because I would hit the wrong button.
You would hit the scary music.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I want to ask Roland a question.
Yes. Yes.
Would you please bring the sexy liberals to Ohio University? We have a nice big convocation center down there, and I would get to see you.
Aw, I will, and I will bring my box and my sound effects.
So please do.
All right.
I love it.
Thank you, Debbie. All right. Yeah, that's the problem. I wouldn't even be able to use my box for protection.
No.
Right?
Uh-huh.
I'd be like, look out, I have a... No, I don't.
You know how old people have those big button phones? We need to get you a big button box.
Right. You need to get in the box with just this.
Yeah.
The whole purpose of my home box.
Keep it simple.
My home box should be different than my work box.
Yeah, we need to keep your box simple.
Right? Because, All right. I don't know where I was going with that.
Yeah, why?
Let's go to Tay in Texas in the wind. Hi, Tay.
Hey, hello.
Good.
Yes, ma'am. I'm about the gun control. The children have been forgotten about. The 20 children have been just completely forgotten about. And in my area on December the 28th, there was a 12-year-old that was shot in the chest from a 9-year-old with a single shot 22.
Nice.
And I can imagine I went to one funeral. I can imagine going to 20.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I just, it's just... And I think, the people in the United States, like the NRA, My husband, including, because he's a hunter. I think they're spoiled rotten. I really think they're spoiled rotten because they're just like a little child that wants to get on the ground and just jump and scream and everything. I'm not getting my way. I don't. You know,
they are. They're having
a
little tantrum. You yep. can't take my lolly. That's their guns like their lolly. They're spinning in the Walmart parking lot. Okay, 46 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's something funny going on in talk radio. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It's not good for me. Today's not good for me.
Yes, do it.
Tomorrow and Wednesday are really bad. How about Thursday?
All right. 51 minutes after the hour. Sexy Liberal Tour Director, high-strung Sexy Liberal Tour Director, says only 5 VIP tickets left for Chicago April 13th show.
And that's
yikes.
A big theater. Holy cow.
And
five. There's only 5 left.
That's right. They might be gone now. They might already be gone. Okay, go. Okay, 1-800 to me with the high pressure.
And you cannot pay with a bag of Vipers.
No. Or a bag of glass, alternatively. All right, 1-800. How many people you want to bet went to the Chicago Theater box office Friday and did those jokes?
Yeah.
Might I buy my VIP tickets with a bag of Vipers?
How about a bag of glass?
Maybe you'd see it differently if I was to drop you off the Jen Ankick. Okay.
Bury you under the billy goat.
Guys like
what's
you'll get
worse
clumsy.
Than being dropped off the Bangkok, being buried under the Billy Goat?
The Billy Goat Tavern, yeah.
Okay, Frank in North Carolina. Hi, Frank. Hi, Frank. Hello, Frank.
Hello.
North Carolina? Frank in North Carolina. What did I say?
Sorry. I had to get away from where I work. we were talking about the guns. Well,
yes.
A lot of my friends around here who have a lot of guns, they, and you guys have touched on it before with that talk about the slime people coming out of wherever. It's all fear. And how many here have ever tried to negotiate with a 2-year-old?
Yeah, exactly. It's taking a 2-year-old's lolly.
That's right. What we're dealing with here is a primal fear. These people, when I talk to them about, you know, guns and that, I told them, you know, shotgun is the best home defense weapon. Oh, it's more just that I need my AR-15 with my heavy mag so I can defend myself, and I'm not kidding, against black helicopters from the U.S. government when they finally come because Obama's going to do it.
Right. Wow. Right. Exactly right.
And of course, they'd have to be black helicopters.
Right. Well, what other kind would the...
You know, what I'm saying.
All right. Hey, guess what, Frank? I'm going to give you a $50 Pro Flowers gift card so you can get your sweetums something for Valentine's Day. How about that?
I appreciate it.
All right, hang on. I'm going to... Okay. Travis, get his information. If you're looking for flowers this Valentine's, go to proflowers.com and click on the microphone and type in Stephanie, won't you? It's a $50 Pro Flowers gift card. We're giving those away all this week.
We are.
Check us out.
Whoa.
Okay. What? Let's go to Elizabeth in Jersey. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Elizabeth. Hello.
Hi. Let me cut my TV down. This is so weird because it's a real weird delay. Hi, Steph.
Hi.
Hi, everybody. I am calling because my husband received an entry for 32-gun grand prize from the NRA. We have a personally signed 4-page letter from Wayne LaPierre. And all we have to do is affix the stickers, and we can choose from almost 72 different guns, and we can win up to 32 guns.
Oh, how fun.
I'm not going to try to take too much time, but Steph, real quick, in the letter, because it's a 4-page letter, I certainly can't read it all, but he states, NRA needs you as a fighting, card-carrying member more than ever before. That's because the Second Amendment is the one freedom that gives you and me the power to protect every freedom in our Bill of Rights. Without it, all freedoms vanish. Oh. Real quick, Steph. And because of gun owners like you, which we are not, NRA has beaten back hundreds of attacks on our rights, from gun licensing to gun rationing, taxes and surtaxes on guns and ammo bans, gun bans, bans on gun shows, and more. So, Steph, remember this. We're still fighting gun-hating federal bureaucrats, militant anti-gun judges at the federal, state, and local levels. UN global gun ban diplomats, anti-gun extremists in Congress, and the state legislators.
God, it's a little wordy.
Freedom-hating billionaires and millionaires.
Oh, for God's sakes. All right, thank you, Elizabeth. Dear God. Here is Pepe Le Pew's former lover, Wayne LaPierre.
There's going to be law-abiding people caught up in a bureaucratic nightmare, and there's going to be abuse in terms of prosecutions, and it's all going to affect only the law-abiding people. The criminals could care less.
Thanks for playing Missing the Point entirely.
Gun? Wow!
See what you did there?
Boy, how does anyone survive in Europe without having an entire arsenal? They must be terrified.
Right. The former president of the NRA told CNN the group has changed. We have flip-flopped on background checks. Yes, we have. Back in 99, you were saying, Jim, after Columbine, they actually ran ads saying it's reasonable to provide for instant background checks at gun shows, just like gun stores and pawn shops. After last month's massacre in Newtown, Connecticut, they said universal background checks, waste of time at best, and a federal nightmare that would lead to confiscation at worst. He said, yes, the NRA has changed its position. The National Instant Criminal Background Check System is not working now. So let's just do away with checks entirely rather than make it work and strengthen it.
You should read the article in Rolling Stone, The NRA versus America, and it talks about 11 days after Columbine, when LaPierre stood before an American flag and address the nation about firearms and student safety. We believe in absolutely gun-free, zero-tolerance, totally safe schools. It means no guns in America's schools, period. This is in 1999.
See, I like this. Somebody wrote a piece, Talking Points Memo. NRA thinks its old playbook will work again after Newtown. And I agree with this, that they are misplaying this PR-wise. The NRA has baffled some by fighting the post-Newtown push for gun control the same way it always has, digging in, refusing to give ground on anything, even wildly popular proposals like universal background checks. NRA President David Keene said our opponents hope this time is different, in the sense they hope they can use a motion to achieve an anti-firearms agenda they haven't been able to achieve in the past. Asked again if he thought things were different this time, Keene said no.
Yeah. Because what kind of, weirdo would have any kind of emotion about kids getting shot in the face?
Right, with a military weapon at close range. Yeah. There's data, though, that suggests the NRA approach has missed the mark. One political scientist published data showing gun control has remained on the news radar after Newtown far longer than after past shootings. He attributed this in part to President Obama's strong push for new gun laws. But, yeah, I mean, when you look at whether it's Gabby Giffords or Ray Kelly or General McChrystal or any of it, this time is different.
Yep.
It is. What's going to happen with it, I don't know. But
and if the government were going to come after you with black helicopters and drones, your guns aren't going to help you.
Yes. Right.
You're not going to see it coming if the government is really
here. Comes a predator from a helicopter.
Yeah, going,
oops.
Yeah.
Well, now, and this is the final nail, Sylvester Stallone supports an assault weapons ban. When you lost Rambo?
Rambo. Yeah, Rambo's for assault weapons ban.
You've lost the fight.
That's right.
Edward, where's my AR-15?
58 minutes, I think that's what he said. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice CD, Jim Ward, me, Stephanie Miller, Sexy Liberal, the Sexy Liberal website, VIP tickets for Chicago. I think they might be gone.
Yeah, there were five left last check, but that was 10-15 minutes ago.
We just went on sale on Friday in Chicago and broke every box office record in the history of Everything Everywhere.
And State Street went kablooey.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so for the April 13th Sexy Liberal, remember, there it is, Sexy Liberal.
Can't be trusted with your box.
No, I'm not good with my box. Only three this year. We already did our East Coast one in D.C. in January, one in the spring in Chicago, and then one West Coast in the fall. That's it. It's Fini.
C'est tout.
For 2013. So go get it. This is the one Midwest show. Do it.
One Midwest show.
Right. Why are you going to repeat everything I say this morning?
What?
Okay. All right. We were saying the final nail in the coffin. Sylvester Stallone is for an assault weapons ban, Jim. We think that's what he said. We're almost certain that's what he said.
Assault weapons ban.
Sorry, what?
Right. He said despite his Rambo image and his, sadly his new film is named Bullet to the Head.
Oh.
Okay. He is in favor of new national gun control legislation. He supported the Brady Bill and hopes the ban can be reinstated. He said, I know people get upset and go, they're going to go take away my assault weapon. Who needs an assault weapon? Like, really, unless you're carrying out an assault, you can't hunt with it. Who's going to attack your house? The army?
Vietnamese.
Nicely said.
Vietnamese.
Nicely said.
Yes. Right. The North Vietnamese.
Right, specifically.
Yes.
Well, Viet Cong were in the South as well, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not important right now.
By the way, a lot of people talking about this story is actually very sad. Ex-Navy sniper, another military vet killed at Texas gun range. A former Navy SEAL known for claiming a record number of sniper killings in Iraq was one of two men shot dead at a Texas gun range, at the hands of a fellow military veteran. Chris Kyle, the author of the best-selling American Sniper, and Chad Littlefield, also a veteran, were gunned down Saturday afternoon on the grounds there in Texas.
Deliberately?
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
So sad.
Not a gun-free zone, Wayne LaPierre, just FYI, the gun range. Mm. Okay. All right. The president, by the way, oh, dear God, Rick Perry said that the Boy Scouts should keep their no-gay policy. He would like them to not continue to not be allowed to play any of our reindeer games.
And this is why Rick Perry's approval ratings in Texas are in the crapper.
Zero.
Oops.
Oops. They're in the oops range.
Yeah.
He emphatically said Saturday the Boy Scouts of America should not soften its strict no-gays membership policy and suggested that bending the organization to the whims of popular culture is wrong. He said failure to adhere to the organization's core values was a cause for high rates of teen pregnancy.
Huh?
Because the gays, of course, getting...
Gays are causing teen pregnancy. How does that work?
He's not a smart man.
Well, we found that out during the campaign.
And wayward youth who grow up to be men joining their fathers in prison.
What? Huh?
Okay, what?
Gays are men who join their fathers in prison?
Right, if they're not knocking up teenage girls. Huh? Okay, I think most people see absolutely no reason to change the position, neither do I. No, I think a lot of people do. It's called basic fairness, you know, equal rights, whatever.
Sure.
He said to have popular culture impact 100 years of their standards is inappropriate. It's just rude to let gays join the wee blows. That's just rude. He also disagreed that allowing members of all sexual preferences would make the scouts more tolerant. I think you get tolerance and diversity every day in scouting, except for the homos. That's what his point is. Because gay activism is central to their lives, meaning all gays, it would unavoidably be a topic of conversation within a scout troop. This would just really? You're sitting around making s'mores? You know, no, let's talk about gay sex again. That's what I'd like to. This would distract from the mission of scouting, character building, not sex education. He said the radical homosexual movement seeks societal normalization of their sexual activity. I respect their right to engage in the individual behavior they're choosing, but they must respect the rights of millions in society who refuse to normalize their behavior.
Wow. The right to...
Hey.
Huh?
What?
Where's that in the Constitution?
Longhorn Leghorn, I don't need you to normalize behavior.
Yeah.
What? All right.
Oops. Yeah.
All right. And to play compare
Perhaps
and contrast,
the lady doth protest too much.
The president before the Super Bowl yesterday.
My attitude is that gays and lesbians should have access and opportunity the same way everybody else does in every institution and walk of life.
What? What?
That's crazy.
What? What?
That's crazy radical Kenyan talk.
Yes, exactly. By the way, here's the perfect reason why. Did you hear this story? I'm not sure, is a dog lover or a gay, this outrages me more. Owner sends gay dog to be euthanized.
Yeah, that was awful.
In Tennessee?
I didn't send you that story just because it was so awful.
Well, the dog is fine.
I know, the dog
is
fine.
He was adopted, so that's fine.
Right, but...
Is it wrong to suggest some people...
be euthanized?
No, that's not what I meant. Might be too dumb to.
Okay, sorry.
Maybe Darwin's Law.
Did I go a little far?
Yes.
Okay, sorry.
A Tennessee dog owner sent his pet to be euthanized because he suspected the dog was gay.
Oh, he just suspected he was gay.
Just because he was licking his own crotch. That's all.
He was barking real gay.
Fortunately, the pup was later adopted.
Yeah.
Jackson, Tennessee resident
dogs
surrendered
shouldn't
his
have choreography.
Gay. He's a little too dancy.
Dancy and fancy.
Oh, God.
He surrendered his gay dog for euthanization to the animal shelter because he saw his... Because
his doghouse was tastefully male. Appointed.
No, he saw his male pit bull American bulldog mix humping another male dog.
Well, dogs will hump a chair.
Thank you.
Dogs will hump anything.
Yeah. It's more dominant. It's nothing to do with...
Wow.
Moron! Okay. A Facebook campaign was set up to try to save the gay dog. A woman named Stephanie, as all awesome people are named... Stephanie, a friend who is affiliated with an animal rescue group, planned to adopt the dog.
I just don't hold with it. A dog shouldn't bark all, hey.
No. He interpreted it as, hey, girl.
Yeah.
That's what the bark sounded like.
Woof, hey. Hey, woof.
All right. Sir.
All right.
Oh, there are some gays who do say woof and grr.
Okay, yeah, somebody, I can't remember which anti-gay rights person said that gays tear the social fabric. They will tear the social fabric. And someone sent me a guy holding up a sign that says, people against gay marriage say it will tear the social fabric. Do you really think gay people would do anything to harm fabric? Good point.
Thank
you.
A point.
Although, we revere fabric.
Cotton poly blend.
Especially Chanel.
Although a cotton poly blend. Might be better left destroyed.
Right.
You won't find that in GQ.
No.
Carl in Las Vegas. Hello, Carl.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
How are you today?
Good. Go ahead.
Okay, listen, I think people haven't really heard all of the facts about these high-powered military weapons, the AR-15, 223 caliber rifle. I mean, I don't think anybody really wants somebody running down the street shooting at anybody. I don't care what kind of criminal they are. That bullet's not going to stop when it hits that person.
Yeah.
And is the person
No, it's designed for, that's why it's designed for war.
Walls.
It's designed to kill the most amount of people.
But the person who pulled that trigger, if that bullet goes on down the street and kills somebody sleeping in their house, can he be held responsible for killing that? Or does the NRA think he should get a free ride and say, oh, well, he was defending his house. He shouldn't be held responsible
sure.
for killing a little yeah. kid in his house when he right. pulls a trigger
well,
on
exactly...
a gun that can kill somebody 5 miles away.
Right, Carl, that's exactly the point. That's why this is a gun, as General McChrystal said, that it's designed for the battlefield. And it's designed when you don't have all the time in the world to train soldiers. It sprays bullets. It's designed to kill the most amount of people. You don't have to have accuracy. It's not an accurate weapon to defend yourself.
As happened in Aurora, the bullets go right through the walls into the adjacent
right.
theater.
Right, right, exactly. Walt in New York. Hi, Walt. Hello, Walt.
Hello.
Oh, hello, Walt. Go ahead.
Oh, hi. Steph, love
yeah,
the show.
Thank you. Go ahead.
I got to say, they ought to change that acronym NRA to No Responsible Adults.
Yeah. Yep.
And item two, let's take this assault weapons connotation off the board and call them those weapons what they are, baby killers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. All right, honey.
I can think of a different acronym for NRA, but it's nothing I can say in the air.
Okay.
No,
well, you tell me off the air. Okay. All right. Oh, the president also talking about, we were talking about this yesterday watching the Super Bowl about, you know, because there was one guy that was, I guess he was okay. But we're just going, this is just crazy. These guys are all disabled later for, you know, in concussions, all that kind of stuff. But the president talking about
these
that.
Are grown men. They're well compensated. They know the risks that are involved. But as we start thinking about, you know, the pipeline, Pop Warner, high school, college, I want to make sure that we're doing everything we can to make the sport safer. And that means that the game's probably going to evolve a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, we were just saying that's just crazy. It's a nearly 300-pound man running at top speed, and I mean, just the level of concussions and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
crazy. And we cheer them. That's why.
It's cray-cray.
We're like, yay, crunch. Mm-hmm. Mm. Although I just want to go on record again as saying that was a hold. They were totally holding Crabtree in the end zone. The 49er. And they should have called it. All right.
All I know is that it interrupted.
I didn't care about the game until it got good, until after the blackout. Then it was come back and it was, you know.
All I know is that it interrupted the Beyonce concert.
Yes. I know. I told you I was outside and I heard music. I'm like, oh, it's halftime. The important part's on. I got to go back in. Hang on. All right. Brian in Athens real quick. Hello, Brian. Go ahead. Hello, Brian.
Hello. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to kind of call in considering that you've got two topics going on that are very, very along the same lines. I am a member of a group called Pink Pistols, which is a gay and lesbian organization for gun owners.
Oh.
I am an ultra liberal. You know, I stand pretty much along the liberal lines pretty much everywhere except for one thing.
Uh-huh.
Gun control.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason is because I honestly believe that a government seeking to disarm its citizens is one that's going to leave citizens open to tyranny, oligarchy, and possibly overrule by the government.
So you need a gun to protect from oligarchy?
Well, here's the thing. You said the same thing, and I've heard this argument before about the fact that if the government wants to do something, then we would be powerless. And I kind of agree. If they really wanted me specifically, then yeah, they might be able to send a drone or whatever. But the type of resources that would go out to the average citizen to be able to, if something were to happen, if we were to have a situation where our debt reached such a maximum that we became overly indebted to a government like China, for instance, and
you're going to need your pistol if that can.
It's possible.
Okay.
It's possible,
right.
And that's not
all
just
right.
A pistol. I don't believe that we should limit it to pistols.
Okay.
But,
all right. Sorry, honey. I appreciate your call. I'm out of time.
So
by the way,
100 million Chinese invade the country. You're going to fight them off with the
right.
Yeah, a revolver. Yeah.
Right. A pink pistol. Yes. By the way. Great piece in the Times this weekend. U.S. debt, not so dire, experts say. Moderate changes could control the situation for at least a decade, most agree. It's just because he brought up the debt. It's really an interesting piece mm-hmm. about all this fear-mongering and screaming that we get debt ceiling, hostage crisis, and all that stuff. Anyway, so not to discount your fear that we're going to be overtaken by the...
Well, yeah, that's
Chinese,
just paranoia.
And we will need our guns. Okay.
That's paranoia.
All right, I will talk about this and much more as we continue. 19 minutes after the hour, it is the Stephanie Miller Show.
Funny how? Funny like she's a clown? Like she's here to amuse you? It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Better
girl.
In the whole damn town. Better than old King Kong. Meaner than a junkyard dog.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Jake, the president's carny yesterday.
We created 2.2 million now with the revisions.
Jobs
in 2012. That means that we have been moving in the right direction when it comes to job creation.
Where are the jobs? Where are they? Oh, there they are.
There they are. Okay. Okay. All right. We were saying, we were talking to Eric Bollert, box office at a box.
Huh?
Stock market at an all-time high. Sorry, I'm too Hollywood, right?
You're thinking about, oh
right.
My God. Sure.
No, yeah, I'm thinking about. Anyway, and I was also reading another thing about income is at an all-time, gone up at record levels. And I thought this was an interesting piece, LA Times this weekend. U.S. debt is not so dire, according to experts. And Jim, you always say this. All this screaming about the deficit and, oh, we're going to be Greece. And yeah. Moderate changes could control the situation for at least a decade, most agree. Listening to the political shouting match and seeing Washington lurch from one fiscal crisis to another, one might think the federal budget deficit is the economic equivalent of a giant meteor hurtling toward the U.S. about to hit any day. The reality is quite different. In fact, the debt is probably not even the country's biggest economic challenge, most experts say, and certainly not the most urgent. Evidence shows the country is on course to, of spending and debt accumulation that could lead to serious trouble not today or tomorrow, but probably 10 to 20 years down the road. what the evidence does not show is that such a crisis is close at hand or that the U.S. is in any imminent danger of turning into an economic basket case like present-day Greece, unless, as Jim said, we do their austerity measures, which is exactly the opposite of, Okay, moreover, financial experts agree that although America's burgeoning health care costs pose huge long-term challenges for the budget, the nation's debt can most likely be controlled for at least the next decade by making a series of relatively moderate policy changes. Those changes, although perhaps unwelcome, would not require drastic adjustments in the lives of most Americans. So, there, thank you. That's all the Republicans scream crisis every time.
Sky's falling!
Right.
Sky's falling!
The chairman of the Council of Economic Advisors.
Consumer spending increase, business investment, particularly for equipment and software, was strong. Residential construction was strong, and we're seeing signs of that in today's jobs report.
But meanwhile, the economy's in the crapper.
It's a crisis of biblical proportions. Dogs sleeping with cats. It's getting better. Oh, crap.
Well, never mind. Then. All right. Which is why, did this piece make me mad in the New York Times yesterday? The great gerrymander of 2012. This is why they have to win by cheating, because the economy is getting better. I didn't realize the number. It's actually, I thought it was a million. Actually, 1.4 million people voted for Democrats than for Republicans for the House. So this is nonsense. This whole, the American people voted for a Republican majority in the House. No, they didn't.
That's insane.
Yes, no, they did not. That's when you're losing on every single issue. This is what you have to do, apparently.
Lie.
Yeah, but this is in the New York Times yesterday. Having the first modern democracy comes with bugs. Normally, we would expect more seats in Congress to go to the political party that receives more votes.
Right.
Crazy?
That's democracy.
But the last election confounded expectations. Democrats received 1.4 million more votes for the House of Representatives, yet Republicans won control of the House by a 234 to 201 margin. Using statistical tools that are common in fields like my own, neuroscience, I've found strong evidence that this historic aberration arises from partisan disenfranchisement. Although gerrymandering is usually thought of as a bipartisan offense, the rather asymmetrical results may surprise you. No, not me, because this is what Jim and I always say about the whole, both sides do it, we'll have to leave it there.
No, they don't.
This is statistically, both sides do not do it. Democrats, of course, don't do it as much as that's the whole point of this piece. Though artful drawing of district boundaries, it is possible to put large groups of voters on the losing side of every election. The Republican State Leadership Committee, a Washington-based political group dedicated to electing state office holders, recently issued a progress report on Red Map, its multi-year plan to influence redistricting. The $30 million strategy consists of two steps for tilting the playing field: take over the state legislatures before the census, then redraw state and congressional districts to lock in partisan advantages. The plan was highly successful. I've developed approaches to detect such shenanigans by looking not only at election returns to see how the sleuthing works, starting with the naive standard that the party that wins more than half the vote should at least get half the seats. In November, five states failed to clear even this low bar: Arizona, Michigan, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. Anyway, but that's the whole point of the piece, what we already know. Both sides may do it. One side does it more often. Surprisingly, absent from the guilty list, California.
Mm-hmm.
California voters took redistricting out of legislatures' hands by creating the California Citizens Redistricting Commission, which we do a lot of things wrong out here, but that one
with that we did right.
Good one.
Yeah.
The stupid initiative props, those things, ridiculous. Crazy.
The unicorn props.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Anyway, he has a couple of great suggestions. We will get to that and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You know, for someone who's super, super hot, you're really cranky.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Pete in Texas. Hey, Pete. Welcome. Hi, Pete.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
You covered what I wanted to talk about, or initially I wanted to talk about, which was my great governor, Rick Perry. I'm just so proud of that man. I just don't know what to do. Mm. But the big problem.
Did you say you're so proud of him?
Oh, yes. I am really proud of him. No, a little bit of sarcasm.
You're being sarcasticated. Okay.
Just a tad.
You're
just
implying sarcasm. That's new around here.
Sarcasm game.
Yes.
I think one of the biggest problems with straight people is they want to put a blank print over gay people. One of the best things I ever saw was a movie called The Boys in the Band, which was about four guys that were going to throw a birthday party for one of their friends. The only one that was flaming was, I mean, he just stood out. You know, everybody
as the gays say, yes.
There was an English teacher. There was a guy that worked in business.
Yes.
I mean, most of the rest of them did not look gay, did not act gay.
But he was muy caliente, is what you're saying.
But what I'm saying is, you know, we just automatically assume that all gay people, all gay men particularly, you know, are interior decorators and fashion designers, and we don't understand that they come in and, you know, they're in all kinds of businesses and all kinds of activities, and we need to have a better understanding. And I think if they come in all colors,
is what you're saying, in rainbow colors.
Yeah, and if they were included in Scouts, maybe we could have more tolerance. You know, I just think that's the big thing, is just having more tolerance.
I've got news for Rick Perry. There are already gay leaders in the
Oh, yeah.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of like the gays in the military, you know.
Right.
And why not let them be honest about who they are?
That's right. Thank you, Pete. I appreciate it. Yeah, it was somebody's idea to wear scarves and call them Weeblos. I'm just saying. Okay, my point is, this story, the gerrymandering story, which made me so mad, in the New York Times, he has two solutions. To preserve majority rule and minority representation, redistricting must be brought into fairer balance. I propose two plans. First, let's establish nonpartisan redistricting commissions in all 50 states. I was saying one of the very few things we're doing right here in California. Second, we need to adopt a statistically robust judicial standard for partisan gerrymandering. Politicians, especially Republicans facing demographic and ideological changes in the electorate, used redistricting to cling to power. It's up to all of us to take control of the process, slay the gerrymander. Slay it. Slay the dragon.
Right.
And put people back in charge of what is, after all, our house. Thank you very much. Good piece in the...
would be a very, very fine house.
Great. Right. Slay the dragon.
Does the boulder back of the tavern.
Here's the worst news. Republicans are gaining control of their senses. The biggest donors in the Republican Party are financing a new group to recruit seasoned candidates and protect Senate incumbents from challenges by far-right conservatives and Tea Party enthusiasts.
Wow.
Who Republican leaders worry could complicate the party's efforts to win control of the Senate.
Huh.
They're trying to get rid of the rapey guys. 40% less rapey guys, maybe next time. Conservative Victory Project. It's the Karl Rove people.
Right. It's to keep people from like Michelle Bachmann and Marsha Blackburn from getting in there.
Right. They're intended to counter other organizations that have helped defeat establishment Republican candidates.
The day is at hand. Oh, Jehovah God. The end of the Tea Party is near. Oh, dear God. Okay.
Lord, the day is at hand.
Oh, no.
We are in the last days.
Oh, boy.
You are Jehovah God.
Who's a good Jehovah God?
Who's a good Jehovah? Who likes a belly rub?
It is the most robust attempt yet by Republicans to impose a new sense of discipline. Oh, discipline on the party, particularly in primary races. Oh, no. Because barbarians must be disciplined. Tea Party barbarians must be disciplined.
Barbarians must be disciplined.
Right. There is a broad concern about having blown a significant number of races, because the wrong candidate was selected. Said the president of America. Grosso, we don't view ourselves as being in the incumbent protection business, but we want to pick the most conservative candidate who can win. Oh, you know what they call that? That's the William F. Buckley rule, Jim.
William F. Buckley, Jr., thy milkshake is better than Gaul's.
Right.
Damn right.
Right. Right. you know what they're saying, though, in this article?
What?
By imposing the Buckley rule, which is electing the most conservative candidate who can win, they may be running afoul of Ronald Reagan's the Reagan rule, not to speak ill of other Republicans.
There you go again.
What happens when you get your Buckley rule and your Reagan rule? Then what?
Then you get two great tastes that taste great together.
You got Buckley in my Reagan.
The effort would put a new twist on the Republican versus Republican warfare that's consumed the party's primary races in recent years. Yeah, this is not good for us. They could be regaining control of their senses. They're trying to, you know, put reasonable Republicans, non-crazy Tea Party people. Hey, look, speaking of which, did you hear the Senator Foley's not going to run? Scott Brown will not seek John Kerry. So much for that old John McCain had all that fake, yeah, the angriest leprechaun
it's
had
not the
all
policy.
That fake outrage for nothing
Should
over
be
Benghazi.
The policy, but it's not the policy.
Senator.
He tweeted about that. The late night tweeter did.
Yeah. But you know who might run?
Who?
Did you see that?
No. Who?
Tag Romney.
Oh, that. Yes, I did. Or Ann.
Or Ann.
Or Ann.
Stop it.
Yeah,
this is hard.
Stop it. It's hard. She might get
stop
in the ring.
Stop it. This is hard. You want to try it? Get in the ring. This is hard.
Party leaders apparently are talking to Ann and Tag. And
oh, wow.
I don't know, Flurn or Flying, too.
And
but as far as we know, just Tag.
Expertise would they bring?
I don't know. That's what I'm
just
thinking.
Just as much as Mitt Romney brought to the... To the governorship of Massachusetts.
Go with Anne. She's so warm.
Stop it.
Okay.
Stop it.
All right. Speaking of somebody who I think will be back in elective office, outgoing Secretary of State Hillary Clinton.
I am very proud to have been Secretary of State. I will miss you. I will probably be dialing ops just to talk.
All right. Go take a nap and then let's go. 2016. Hillary, here we go.
Oh, she's already getting the infrastructure in place.
Oh, yeah.
You know
right.
that.
You just take a nappy time. We got this.
Yeah.
All right. Senator Mike Johanns, Republican Nebraska, will support Chuck Hagel for Secretary of State. Senator Roy Blunt, Republican of Missouri, says no.
I don't intend to vote for him in the
He's
committee
troubled.
Or
He's
on
troubled.
The Senate floor. And there were just so many inconsistencies yesterday that were explained by, well, that I'd have to look at the whole context of what he said. I said at the time.
Well, that was Blunt.
Yeah, that was Blunt. He's blunt. Troubled. He's very troubled. Very troubled. Troubling, troubling nomination.
Bluntly
very
troubled.
Very troubled. Yes.
Troubled by bluntness.
Okay. Jay Carney on the, by the way, the White House offered religious groups a way out on contraception. They will flesh out their accommodation for religious groups that object to the Affordable Care Act requirements that in employers' insurance plans cover female contraception without cost. I don't understand what the problem is with this whole thing. It offered religious nonprofits a compromise between the mandate and a full exemption they demanded and which churches are entitled to. The proposed rule details a principle announced nearly a year ago, permits religious organizations to decline to pay for birth control coverage if a group avails itself of that exemption. Their insurance company would be required to provide the service to the organization's employees for free.
Even the Catholic League's Bill Donahue, that blowhole, said he appreciated the Obama administration reaching out to Catholics.
Wow.
He didn't compare anything to the Holocaust?
No, he didn't, which is shocking.
So unusual.
He accused me of hypothetically supporting Obama or Madonna if she danced out of an oven and made fun of Jews in the hall, which she didn't, but he said that I would support her if she did that.
Yes, she did.
Yes. I've gotten into many hypothetical arguments with that man on CNN that I don't even know how to get out of. I'm like a mime in a box. I'm like, but Madonna didn't do that. What? Okay, here's Jay Carney.
We had to ensure that women have access to preventive services like contraception, and that the policy also respects religious beliefs.
It's not the policy. It's not the policy.
It is the policy. Okay. Yes, it is. She gets the prize. We mentioned her, I think, on Friday. Senator Cheryl Nuxhall.
Sorry, what?
Oh.
She's the Idaho Republican that compared Obamacare to...
Hitler.
Holocaust.
And she has the most spectacularly architectural bangs in the world.
Oh.
Have you seen a picture of her?
Yes.
Oh, I fell in love with those bangs the second I saw them.
Oh, my goodness. She drew a comparison between the private insurance companies participating in Obamacare and the Jews boarding trains to concentration camps. She said Idaho should refuse to set up a state-run health exchange under Obamacare because although the federal government is using private insurance for the time being, the Obama administration will, quote, eventually pull the trigger on those companies to establish a socialistical health care system. The insurance companies creating their own tombs, she said, much like the Jews boarding the trains to the
country. Really?
Come on.
Yeah, private insurers are used by the feds to put the system in place because the federal government has no way to set up the exchange. When the newspaper there asked her to clarify her comments, she doubled down.
Oh?
Oh, boy.
She said she did not mean to disrespect any group of people with her analogy.
Oh.
And explained she said it because I felt badly for the Jews. And it wasn't just the Jews, but Jews and Christians and Catholics and priests. My thing was they didn't know what was going on.
She let the gays out of there, notice.
Right. The insurance
the
companies are not realizing, and everyone else in the Cher song.
Thanks. Mm-hmm. The insurance companies are not realizing what's going to end up in their demise. Are you kidding? This is giving the insurance company how many more patients? What are you talking about?
Moron.
All right.
Let's go back to Fantastic Sam's.
That was catty.
I'm sorry.
Meow. Like another saucer.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, here's the, I think the difference in our fortunes politically right now. Speaking of Hillary running, Hillary could carry Texas in 2016 according to a new poll.
Amazing.
Oh!
Wow.
T and then a he.
It's a historically Democratic-leaning poll, but still it's encouraging.
Right. She tied with Marco Rubio and Chris Christie. Top Rubio by a single point in the matchup, only 2 points over Christie. I think it's spectacular. It's Texas. I'm scared in Jersey, though, because Geraldo might run, as we discussed on Friday. Hmm. He's going to run against
him. Hold a press conference in his vault.
My new best friend and superhero, Cory Booker.
Who
will kick his ass. All right, 45. Hmm? 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Look, the two symbols of the Republican Party, an elephant and a big, fat white guy who's threatened by change.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, the Superdome was not ready for this jelly.
No,
apparently,
no.
Because the lights went out after.
No, not ready for that jelly at all.
After her performance.
Mm-mm, no, you got to be ready for the jelly. 50 minutes after the hour.
I think jelly and electricity don't mix.
No.
I think that could have been
You're
a problem.
Absolutely right.
1-800-STEPH-1-2-1. Oh, here's the story. American incomes rose in December by the most in 8 years. A positive sign for consumer spending. Blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Blah, blah, blah. And now, a story about a bear. Okay, I was going to want to do this. Why you sent this to me? Oh, my God. What? There's a bunch of little baby bear cubs partying.
That's right.
In New Hampshire.
They were little orphan bear cubs. Mom and Dad were gone, so they tore the house apart.
Gawker brings us the story. Orphan baby bear cubs refuse to sleep this winter, just want to stay up and play all night.
Yep.
Aww.
They're having a party up in here.
That's totally
27 New Hampshire baby bear cubs are having the slumber party of their lives this winter because they've decided not to go to sleep.
Okay.
They're at the New Hampshire Bear Hill Conservancy. The cubs are putting on makeup and make prank calling owls they know and playing with a Ouija board, even though Jessica's mom says it's a tool of the devil. No bear wants to fall asleep because he's afraid his friends will put his paw in a cup of warm water.
That is adorable.
They're freezing each other's bras and writing up each other's butts and lipstick. Oh, it's so fun.
Totes adorbs.
Yes, exactly. All right. Oh, kids, Chicago, hurry, go, get it. The box office exploded on Friday.
Records.
Right. Something. April 13th, Sexy Liberal. I think VIP is gone, and the other tickets, I don't even want to say. It's crazy. You may even go. You and Travis may fly.
Yeah. We may end up going there.
Maybe we'll work Jim over.
There you go.
But,
and we're trying to talk your boyfriend into coming, too.
Which one?
Jeff.
Oh, okay. My boy toy.
Yes.
All right. Jim, think about it. Accidents happen when you sign up to go to Chicago with the rest of the crew. JetBlue flight diverted after a flight involving onboard TV. Did you see this? They actually had to land a flight. Because a woman was seated in the premium section when another passenger was moved to the same row because his TV monitor didn't work. She became angry. The man was moved to her premium section without paying extra. She got into an argument with the flight crew.
Oh, dear.
Air Marshal flight.
Air Marshal had to get
flight
involved?
Flight diverted. Yeah, bridesmaids. It was a whole thing.
I know you're an air marshal. Just know it.
I knew it. I got your back. Okay. God, I love that movie. All right. Oh, and our good friend, Kristen Chenoweth. Don't you mess with her. First of all, this big. She's 3 inches tall.
And the set tried to kill her.
Yes, and the set has tried to kill her, and she is doing great.
And good. I found out, apparently, she lives across the street from my new place.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
She's totes adorable. Speaking of totes adorable.
Ah, yeah. She is.
Right?
That's the very definition of totes adorable.
And it involves her dog, so this is... I will... American Airlines, don't you...
It started when she tried to board a flight from Dallas to L.A. With her dog, Madeline.
Mm-hmm.
Attendants told her she didn't have the correct documentation. She insisted she'd done everything correctly. The agent got verbally abusive, leaving Chenoweth in tears. The airline eventually realized it had made a mistake. Chenoweth took to Twitter to voice her frustration. She ended up receiving an official apology from American Airlines. Meanwhile, she scolded their description of the dog. Maddie is not a service dog. She's an emotional support animal. Why can't I get Max? Can I get Max? God knows I need emotional support. Can I get Max as my emotional support animal?
Something tells me that Madeline is much smaller than Max.
Yeah, Max would take up an entire row in first class. I'd be like, everybody just spread out.
And there'd be a river of drool going down the aisle.
My emotional support dog.
No, he'd want to ride in the cockpit anyway.
Hey, what a perfect segue to the first porn actress going into space. Fill in your own cockpit joke here.
Absolutely.
Experience in the cockpit. Okay.
Oh, I see. Right.
Uh-huh.
Gotcha.
One small step for space porn. Adult film actress Coco Brown set to become first porn star in space.
Porn stars in space.
She's known for her roles, Jim.
Oh.
And such.
Do we want to know?
Big Booty Bomb number 2.
The sequel.
Wow.
Electric Boogaloo.
And I think I might be familiar, but Lesbian Sea Power number 4.
Hmm.
I just really enjoyed the first three. What?
Yeah, once you get past the trilogy, then it starts to go downhell.
Coco Brown, a.k.a. Honey Love, will become the world's first Astro Slut.
Honey Love, don't care.
Astro Slut next year. What?
Astro Slut?
That's what they're calling
it.
Oh.
She puts the ass in Astro Slut.
She says some high-flying hijinks may be in store, Jim. Uh-huh. She said maybe I'll pop my boob out and take a photo of it with the Earth in the background, which is exactly what Buzz Aldrin said.
Sure.
There are things that will go down in history. Neil Armstrong, one small step. We cut to Honey Love. Maybe
one
I'll
giant
pop
leap
my
for
boob out.
Bow.
Okay, let's go to it.
Well, if you saw the picture of her.
Oh, wow. A little rough.
Yeah, she's been around.
Yikes. Okay. Shelly in Richmond, Virginia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Shelly. Hi, Shel.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi. Go ahead.
So, Wayne LaPierre and the gun advocates all keep trying to make the argument that if we have tighter gun laws, that it's going to be impinging people's rights who are gun owners, that we're going to be stepping on their rights lawful gun owners, excuse me.
Right.
But the thing is, all of these people who have committed all of these crimes have been lawful gun owners until they stepped across that line.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Exactly.
Became the criminals. It's not just criminals. We have to be fearful of everybody with guns.
Yep. Yep. I mean, Adam Lanza's mother is a quote unquote responsible gun owner, you know, according
to
the NRA.
Right.
So
exactly. They
guess
were
what you
all lawful gun owners until they decided to commit these crimes. So
Shelly, guess what you get for
their argument? What's their argument after that?
Guess what you get for your good point? A $50 Sherry's Berry gift card. What do you think about that?
That's great.
Hang on. $50. Hey, that's an amazing Valentine's Day deal and gift. They're giant. They're huge. Have you seen them? Chocolate dipped strawberries from Sherry Berries. Go to berries.com. Click on the mic and type in the code word Stephanie.
They're bigger than a baby's fist.
Oh, my God.
What?
Wow. Okay.
Oh, honey, you shouldn't have chocolate covered baby fist. Oh, I love you.
Won't they miss their fists?
They're not actually.
Okay.
Oh. By the way, speaking of women that need protection, Rihanna confirms she and Chris Brown are back together.
Oh, really?
Is that
a good idea?
It's different now. Well, she doesn't have a gun. I suggest she stock up on umbrella. Ella's.
Ella.
On that note.
That's you know what? That's the sign that you're out of.
You jumped the shark.
Material.
Yeah, you jumped the baby fist.
Yeah. All right, that's it for us. I'd like to thank Chris LaVoy, Jim Ward, T-Bone on phones and drums, Courtney, Jackie, the whole crew at Current. We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.